Welcome back to the Short Commute Podcast. You are here in Zach's office with Zach and Pastor Drew. We're talking today about a spiritual discipline, one that's not maybe so familiar to me, and I would go out on a limb and say not so familiar in our faith tradition, and that is fasting. Fasting is a spiritual discipline where you deny yourself something. Typically, we think about it in terms of food, denying yourself food, as Jesus did when he fasted in the wilderness, for a purpose of connecting in a new or deeper way with God. Drew, do you have any experience fasting?
I can't say that I've done any more than dabble with fasting. I have done some research on it, not just in terms of the spiritual discipline aspect, but also in terms of the health benefits that come from it. So, I know a little bit about fasting, but like I said, I don't have any rhythms or patterns of fasting, although sometimes I just kind of on a whim will engage in a 24-hour fast.
It's funny that you mentioned health benefits. I wasn't going to go there, but we can. Maybe the only fasting I do in a year, real intentionally, is the 30-hour fast we do with the youth group every year, which is simultaneously a spiritual discipline where we're praying and crying out for people in poverty around the world, but also as a fundraiser for World Renew. So we raise money and give it to World Renew. So that goes to the people we're praying for who are in poverty. But on the bottom of their little waiver, there's a link, and they take you to... parents are concerned about the dangers. They have a doctor who wrote this little thing about how there is health benefits to an occasional fast, and that in 30 hours there's really nothing detrimental so long as you have enough water.
Right.
And in fact, it's good for you.
Yeah, and I've heard that too, although there are certain conditions. I don't know if being diabetic or hypoglycemic, stuff like that you have to watch that. But, you know, getting back, I think it is beneficial. I think it's beneficial holistically. And so you can point at the health benefits, and you can point at the spiritual benefits. You can point at the emotional benefits of just developing discipline in itself. And I think that really it creates a holistic picture. But I want to get back to how we should practice something like fasting, and also how we should view something like fasting, because fasting was required in the Old Testament. That is a requirement. I think it was only 2 days a year that people were called to fast. But obviously, you know, Christ fulfilled the ceremonial law of which fasting would be a part. I mean, theologically, how do we practice fasting, and how do we understand fasting today? Do you have any thoughts on that?
I think one of the ways we do it incorrectly is that in terms of Lent, when we fast from maybe not necessarily food, but from candy or from Facebook, people do social media fasts.
Okay.
We've made it less of a spiritual discipline and more of a just a personal challenge. So there's really no spiritual element to the way that it's done. It's just like, hey, I'm going to try to give up this for a while because it's bad for me. That's not so much the purpose that we're trying to get at when biblically we talk about fasting. It's a physical way to do a spiritual thing. Maybe you can put better words to that.
I was thinking about it a little bit earlier today. Maybe since we're good Reformed Christians, we could put it in Kuyperian terms. Mm-hmm. And fasting is a way that we bring our appetites under the lordship of Christ. Mm-hmm. The square inch of our lives that would consist of our physical appetites, it's a way of mindfully and intentionally bringing that under the lordship of Christ and saying, you know what, this is not a god or an idol in my life. Looking at it that way, we don't get legalistic about it, and yet we can, I guess, acknowledge its value in our spiritual growth.
What would you say to someone who's never fasted before about the importance of fasting? I mean, at what level do we hold it?
Boy, you know, when you look at the spiritual disciplines, you know, you have something like prayer, which I think is absolutely vital in the Christian life.
And that's what I'm asking.
Where alongside of something like fasting and meditation, however you understand that. Mm-hmm. On the one hand, I would put fasting underneath a practice like prayer, underneath a practice like worship and fellowship regularly with believers. On the other hand, I feel like I'm already on a slippery slope of, you know, creating this hierarchy of things that we do.
Yeah,
and that's something I really want to avoid. Do I think that fasting is necessary for salvation? No, I do not.
Sure.
Is it beneficial to our growth in spiritual maturity? I think absolutely.
Is it something we should teach more or better than we do?
I think that in teaching it, we need to be very clear about its place.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that we would preach not as a mandate, but as a tool in the toolbox.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
And we need to be very clear. Whenever we're talking about the law, whenever we're talking about commandments and that sort of thing, we have to be really careful because that's not something that necessarily earns grace at all.
No, yeah.
That's a way that we live out our grace. And, you know, frankly, I think that God provides things like fasting and other spiritual disciplines like celebration and meditation and fellowship. I think he provides these things so that we can continue to have creative things to try and experiment with, all in our pursuit of relationship with him.
Mm-hmm. What are appropriate situations? Again, I'm coming at this because it growing up in this congregation and in this area and these schools, it's something that still is quite foreign to me. What are some scenarios where you would encourage someone to be fasting?
Well, let's talk about how it functions.
Yeah.
So I can conceive of a context where fasting could function much like the law in its conviction of our sin. So the law is a mirror, mm-hmm. showing us how we don't measure up. If we experiment with fasting, we might very well come to realize how dependent, how emotionally tied, how important food is in our lives and the role that it plays in our happiness. So in that way, just experimenting with fasting is going to make us realize, wow, I certainly do value food perhaps a lot more than I should. Another way that it could come into play, you know, is for the health benefits and is for just the emotional health of being able to deny yourself and follow Christ with something of the bare minimum. You know what? There's nothing else I need other than Christ, and I'm going to follow him with what I have. And so just that experimenting with shedding the different things that we kind of depend on, the things that we're accustomed to in life, are just healthy exercises in discovering who we are without those things, right?
Mm-hmm. There's a level of weakness, physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, that comes with the hunger pangs of fasting.
Okay, yeah.
And I think that, for me, has been the most beneficial spiritual growth achieved at the end of a fast, because the yearning and the intentionality and the focus that then goes into the prayer or the decision or whatever it is that I am focusing on instead of food during that time.
Yeah.
Because you realize the depth of your weakness and depravity during that fast. It just brings you to such a low point.
Mm.
And for me, at least, maybe for someone else, it's not hard at all. Those 30-hour fasts are really, really difficult for me.
Yeah,
that we do with students, but it has done some great things, faith formation wise, out of those.
Sure,
because my prayers become just so focused, and there's a yearning there that's not always there.
Right,
I think that's the biggest benefit that I've experienced.
Well, fasting is a weird thing, right? I mean, it goes against our habits. It goes against, you know, our nature. And we do it very much, very intentionally to worship God as an act of worship. You know, those of us who engage in Christian fasting, we're doing that as an act of worship and submission. And it's a good lesson for all of life as well. You know, anytime we do something intentionally to further our relationship with God, to know Him more, to discover His will, to praise and worship Him, anything we do in life can function that way. And that's where something kind of maybe out of the mainstream like fasting, that's something that fasting has to teach us.
Yeah. Amen. I think that's a great place to wrap up. So we thank you again for listening. We'll be back next week, Friday.